Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today, where we are here to conclude our great two-part interview with Russell DeVos, founder of the Catalyst Coaching Program. Russell was a great pastor of a thriving church who ended up losing it all, and his fall from grace severely impacted him and his family. And he shared with us in part one of this great two-part interview all the details on that. So I encourage you to go back. And if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and get caught up. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, God is not finished with Russell. Amen. He's been sharing how he started the Catalyst Coaching Program to help other men who need the inspiration and someone to come alongside them with the Word of God so they can come back stronger than ever before from whatever is plaguing them and whatever's plaguing you. Amen. Now, I don't have enough time to go back and replay everything we talked about yesterday, so if you missed any of it, go listen to it. But right now, we're going to rejoin this interview as Russell explains a pattern of events that could be leading to a fall. Now, here's the conclusion of my interview with Russell DeVos. Do these things just happen, or is there a pattern of events, a pattern of habits that start someone down the path towards a fall or a failure?
Yeah. I think that one of the things that in coaching that I do is someone has said that coaching essentially is helping the person that you're coaching to see their own brain. Mm. And when I heard that, I thought that's exactly right. Most men have very little awareness, and most people in general, but I think men more than even women, have very little awareness of what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what motivates them, what their values are. And there, I have a client who just said recently, he says, I feel like I'm living my whole life in a fog. And I think that is really true of a lot of people. I look back, and one of the things that I can tell you in the last 13 years that has happened is I have become so much more aware of the vulnerabilities of my life, my strengths, my weaknesses, the places where the enemy can get me. And I was completely blissfully ignorant of that as a pastor. Yeah. And I had things like the issue of the sexual issue growing up, not ever discussing it, a lot of shame around it. I wasn't aware of how that was being used by the enemy to be a trap. And so helping men to be honest and know that you can be honest, we're bringing things into the light, but then becoming aware of blind spots. One of my blind spots was with my wife. I had developed a spirit of incredible ingratitude, unthankfulness for who she was. Mm-hmm. And that set me up crazily for a fall. I saw her failures. I saw her weaknesses, and we struggled. And I had developed a spirit and a heart of ungratefulness towards my wife. And I saw her as a trick, that God had tricked me into marrying her. And boy, when you have that mindset, wow, about your wife, you're set up. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was a big one that the Lord revealed to me. Another one was, and this is interesting, is that because of relationships growing up, and possibly with my mom, and I don't want to throw her under the bus in any way, but this was just part of our family dynamic. I grew up feeling like I was a rescuer. I would counsel my parents when they fought. I couldn't stand the conflict in the home. My mom and dad struggled. My dad as a pastor, my mom and dad, they fought a lot. And so I would be the mediator of their fights. And so I kind of grew up seeing myself as a bit of a one who would intervene and mediate and be the savior, and everything would be okay, and conflict would be gone, and all the suffering that everyone's experiencing would be gone. And so I grew up, and I brought this mindset into ministry that I was the one who would be the knight in shining armor to ride in and save the day.
Yep.
And that and the counselors told me, Russ, you're not Jesus. You're not a savior. You're not the savior. And then they also told me, you don't understand the powerful impact of suffering in someone's life. You're trying to eliminate suffering from people's lives.
That's good. Yeah.
People need to suffer. Mm-hmm. Suffering and pain is one of God's greatest gifts to open our eyes to where we need to change and grow. And it also reveals his grace in the middle of it. But if I'm trying to alleviate and eliminate suffering from people's lives, I'm not doing the work of God. I'm trying to be Jesus, and I'm not Jesus.
Amen.
And that set me up. I had had another improper relationship in the Foursquare Church when I was a youth pastor. And we left that church partially trying to get away from that. Nobody knew about it except for me and the other lady. But I left trying to get out before it was too late. Yeah. And I hadn't plucked the seeds of that. I hadn't plucked the roots of that. But in both cases, the one that caused the failure in 2007 and then the one prior to that in the other church, both of them were a result of me trying to minister and be compassionate to hurting people.
Yeah.
Yep. Just happened to be they were women, they were friends, and they were somewhat attractive, and it got twisted.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And you know, it's... thinking back, is our stories are mirroring, not exactly right, but I mean several of the things that you're talking about I've gone through and had to pray it through and work it through myself. Amen.
Yeah.
So share with us some of the ways someone can protect themselves from these types of mindsets or patterns that's going to trip them up.
Well, I'll tell you this, I am such a believer in relationship. So just on my first impulse as you ask that question is this: you need a brother. You need somebody who's another pair of eyes for you. You've got to bring your life into relationship with other people that you can trust and you can be honest with and who will call you on your bullcrap. That is vital. I know that my growth did not happen in any significant way until I had a structure where, like I mentioned, a coach is someone who helps you see your own mind. And so I think that is so vital to have somebody that can listen, can observe, and then to comment and give you direction based on what they see and give you insight in based on what they're viewing and observing. So that's one thing for sure. Out of the coaching came disciplines and rituals that I practice almost on a daily basis and of renewing my mind. I think the most key verse possibly in all of Scripture is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, not find, but prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a very common verse. A lot of people have heard it, but that process, I've heard very little teaching or practical application of how do you actually renew your mind. We're told to do it, but how do you do it?
Amen.
And so that is one of the things that the coaching has helped me more than anything. Believe it or not, I had a coach who was not a believer. And I never met her or had any personal interaction, but via video and her writing was introduced to the most powerful mind renewal tool that I've ever seen in my life. And I would love to teach it to every believer as an application of Romans 12:2. But you have to begin to rewire your brain. You have to begin to renew your mind. And that comes first by awareness. You have to begin to see where is it that I'm thinking incorrectly, because all of our acting flows out of our thinking. And you have a thought that leads to an emotion that leads to an action that creates a result. And that repeated pattern is your destiny. That is your life.
Yeah. Wow.
And so God has given us the ability to control our thoughts and to renew our minds. But here's the thing that I see in most church. Most people in the Christian world, they check their little church box and they might have a little bit of interaction with the scripture somewhere along the line during the week. But the people who are renewing their minds, it is a daily routine that they do as top priority in their life. It is something that is done daily. I had a brother, a dear old gentleman, man of God, said, that which is not done daily will never dominate your life.
Yeah, that's true.
And so this mind renewal has to be done daily. You see, the great men and women of God, they have a morning routine. And this is much of what I teach in my coaching. When I watch, I teach, number one, you've got to get up early. Number two, you have to have a morning routine that involves renewing your mind. And you're specifically working on areas that you're failing. For instance, with anger, this is one area that I dramatically had issues with when we moved up here to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Big anger issues. And I've seen this process of getting into the Word, as well as using quotes, scriptures, and this process that this lady has taught to help me understand, when I have an emotion of anger, there is a thought that is creating that anger. What are those thoughts? That's typically where we have a lack of awareness. We just feel this emotion, then we act out of the emotion. We have to go one step further. We have to understand what the thoughts are. Let me give an illustration of this. I had horrible relationships with my children once we moved up here. Mm. I'm in the process, and by God's grace, we have largely renewed and restored relationship with my kids.
Amen. Amen.
But I was so angry, and I was so domineering with my children and so harsh. In one of the coaching sessions, I was challenged to write down all my thoughts about my kids. We call it a brain dump, where you just uncensored, unsanitized, you just dump your thoughts onto paper. And so I went away, went to a coffee shop, got out a pencil or a pen and a pad of paper, and uncensored, and it was ugly and brutal, I wrote down every thought that I thought about my children. And when I stood back and read that list, Bob, it was horrifying.
Mm. Wow.
And I realized, no wonder when I walk through the door, when I get home from work, my kids scramble. No wonder they don't want to hang out with me.
Wow.
they don't have to hear it verbally. They can sense it like an odor that this is the way I view them and the way I think about them.
Wow.
And when I saw that list, it was the beginning of change. I thought, I despise those thoughts. They're horrible thoughts about my children. The thoughts are so low and so ignoble. They don't believe the best about my kids. They don't believe almost anything good about my kids. They see them as a pain, a thorn, a problem, a pest, a fly to be swatted.
Wow.
And that began the process. But I had to see my thoughts. I had to see what was causing this contempt for my children. When I saw it, now the enemy is out of the shadows. Now it's no longer guerrilla warfare. Now I know who the enemy is. It's in front of me. Now I can choose to change my thoughts. And the moment I did, my feelings towards them changed and my behavior towards them changed. And the renewal started.
Amen. Amen. So if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that after failing, after a huge fall, a huge failing in life and marriage and with kids and ministry before God, what you're saying is there is still hope, but it's going to take a lot of work. There's a way to get back up in life again. Can you just walk us through some of those steps?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is such good news. You know, I'm studying the book of Exodus in conjunction with the book of Deuteronomy, and you have the word wilderness, 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 wilderness over and over. And in the Hebrew, that word wilderness is the word midbar. And a lot of people think of the wilderness as a desert that will suck you dry and you'll be buried under the sand. In the Hebrew language, the word for wilderness is the word midbar. It literally means the place where a shepherd takes his sheep out to pasture. Mm. It also means, the word midbar means also to speak.
Mm.
So what is the significance? The wilderness of our life, the darkest times of our lives, are not when God has abandoned us, or where God has pulled back because of because he's ashamed of us for our behavior. It's the time when God moves into our lives and begins to speak to us and pastor us most powerfully.
Yeah, amen.
That's what failure does. God doesn't pull back from us. He pulls into us. Mm-hmm. And though he will take us out to the wilderness and he'll constrict our life a little bit. I mean, the diet of the people in the wilderness went down to manna. Now, was it supposed to stay at manna? No. The goal was manna for a period of time to show them that God was everything for them. Mm-hmm. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the goal was that their whole life would open up again into the promised land where it was flowing with milk and honey. So God takes us out of Egypt, out of our failure, into the wilderness. And my wilderness has been roughly 13 years.
Yeah.
But God has spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken and revealed. In the wilderness, two things are revealed, at least two things. Number one, my heart. And number two, God's heart.
Amen. Amen.
It's powerful. And so is there hope? There's incredible hope. There's incredible hope. Our failure is not final or fatal. Our failure is a stepping stone. It's an opportunity to get alone with God and to mend our brokenness so that God can become strong in our weakness. That's what failure is. And if we see it, this you asked what a mindset was that helped pull me out of this. One of the mindsets that has been more powerful than probably any other mindset is simply this: there are no problems, only opportunities.
Amen.
And that, and so whenever I say a statement like that, that it doesn't come from scripture, I want to know, where does the Bible validate that? And I'll tell you, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Yeah. All things, including our failure, as bloody and ugly as it might be, all things work together for good to those who love God. There are no problems, only opportunities. So I have to ask myself, in my bloody, gory failure of hitting the wall at 80 miles an hour and all the brokenness of that, what is the opportunity? What is God doing? What is the story now? What is the message out of my mess? What is the testimony that will flow out of my test? Amen. There's Amen. So much hope, Bob. There's so much hope. And I know that when I first fell, and was literally stumbling around like a blind man, I went online and realized there's a whole community, a whole group of probably disjointed, they probably don't even know they're out there, of pastors and men who have failed morally and have never gotten back up. They've never redeemed their failure.
Wow.
I have a book that I'm going to write at some point, and the title is simply this: Don't Waste Your Failure. Our failure is some of the greatest opportunity for God to do his greatest work and then to raise us back up and release us in a power and authority and a depth of humility that we never had before. God doesn't throw away broken things. He redeems them. He restores them. That's what the gospel is.
Yeah. Amen. That's true. And you know, when you come to that realization, I remember, you know, back in my military days, you know, someone would do something that ended up, just say, a miserable failure on what happened or the results. And the commander might ask me, you know, so what do you want to do to him? I don't know, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So this is a great learning experience. I'll take care of it. And I tell the guy, I say, okay, you made a decision and this is the result of the decision you made. And you see the results.
Yep.
What did you learn out of this? You know, and I wouldn't accept this, well, not to do it anymore. No. I want to know why you did do it and why you believe you should not do it in the future. Tell me, you know, what you learned. And by doing that, I usually, and knowing that the command staff was looking at, you know, taking stripe, taking money and all that from his pocket, and that I stood up for him and said, no, let me use it as a teaching point.
Yes.
Then he had that, I can't say loyalty, but sense of appreciation for what I was doing. And they tried even harder to make sure that they use the problem. Just use you're saying here, the mindset.
Yes.
Going forward, they weren't going to, you know, assume the other options. You know?
Yes.
So, amen. So in your coaching program, how do you minister these kinds of precepts to other men who may have already fallen? They're grasping at straws right now, you know, hoping, praying, for a way back.
Yeah. You know, I think it was Einstein who said, simplicity is a form of genius. I really believe that we can complicate things so much. And I try to keep things very simple. So listen, first of all, nothing shocks me. Nothing shocks me. And I think that we have to normalize. Now, hear me carefully. Not justify or accept, but normalize brokenness. It is the human condition. Mm-hmm. When I failed and our church asked me to leave and leave the town, et cetera. And I want to be careful what I say here because I love these people. I believe that if we could have demonstrated for the world that not only can we thrive when everyone's doing well, we can also thrive when people fail. And so what I do with my coaching is come as you are. We just start back at the basics. Let's go back to the center ring, your relationship with Jesus. Then let's go back to then we'll move out from there to the next ring. Let's build you as a person, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Let's work on building you as a person. Let's just get back to the core and work our way out from there. And I will tell you, it is extraordinary what happens even in the first week of coaching when guys just get back to basics.
Yep. Amen.
And so that's what we do. I keep it very simple. I'm not a complicated guy. I don't like complication. One of our core values as a church was simplicity. We taught the word and we prayed. That's all we did.
Amen.
And we met in groups. We used the book of Acts chapter 2 as our model, and we kept it very, very, very simple. And so with simple principles, living out of your core, cultivating the inner life in simple ways, nothing complicated, then in our coaching sessions, we just, then, you know, we'll go in whatever direction that, and I always ask Holy Spirit, guide us in this coaching session. Take us where you want us to go. Then we just deal with things as they come up. And the power of God. And here's the other thing. When I first started my sales career after we moved up here to Seattle, third month in, our national sales manager told my manager to fire me because I had a rough month. My first month was good. My second month was not as good. My third month was real low. And the national sales manager instructed my manager to fire me, and he refused to do it. Thank God.
Yeah.
And on the fourth month, I broke through. And that next year, I set every record that our company had ever had in sales. What is my point? That manager encouraged me like nobody ever has in my life. Mm-hmm. He didn't teach me a lot with regards to sales. Our sales system kind of did the job of that. But he just kept breathing life into me, telling me that I could do this and helping me work through the mental blocks that I had when I felt like it wasn't going well. He was a cheerleader. I'm convinced that one person who has a cheerleader can change the world.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what coaching is. And that's why we need each other so desperately. Because when you have somebody who is bringing you back to truth, because our mind naturally gravitates to the most dire circumstance. That's just what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And truth brings us back to, you are an overcomer. You have strength in you. God is strong through your weakness. And when you have somebody who you know believes that and means it and is not just blowing smoke at you, but they see greatness in you. They see the goodness of God in you. They see potential in you that God has put in you. They see the gifts that God has put in you, and they call them out. You can't underestimate the power of that. You can't overestimate the power of that, I should say. It is absolutely dynamic. And so that is part of what coaching is. It's simplicity plus tons of encouragement and the willingness to put a boot in the backside if it's needed, or an arm around the shoulder if it's needed.
Amen.
Given the situation. So,
amen. Amen. Yeah. As we get ready to wrap up, what words of encouragement can you share with someone listening to us right now who may be experiencing some of the things that you've shared with us today?
Oh, I would just say, first of all, you've got an ally here. You've got an ally here. And I believe that God is not shocked by our failure, number one. Our failure is such an opportunity for God's greatest work. He is a master at putting broken things back together. He brings life out of death. Resurrection is the crowning part of our faith. He brings life out of death. And so if you feel like you are dead, I want you to understand you are in a beautiful position for God to do great work in you, to Amen. Resurrect you, to bring you back to life, to breathe life into the dry bones. You know, mm-hmm. Ezekiel chapter, 38, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yep. God breathes life into dead bones. That's what he does. That's why I love him so much.
Amen.
And so have hope, my brother. Have hope, Amen. My sister. Be of good cheer. God has overcome.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Russell, this all sounds so fascinating. And as we talked off the air before, I can relate to just about everything you just shared with us. I mean, I am still to this day astounded how God can take a mess and use it to turn it into a message of hope that can only come through him. Amen.
Yep.
Now, if someone wanted to reach out to you to get more information on the Catalyst Coaching Program or to ask you a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, Bob, I don't know exactly how to do it, but I can put into the notes. I have my website. I have a smart link, which has basically connections to everything that I LinkedIn, my YouTube channel, etc. I'm starting to teach the scripture again online and going to be posting on my YouTube channel. My email is very simple. It's just devosrus@catalystcoachinghq.com. Okay. I can give all that to you if you want to post it. I don't know how that all works, but
I'll take care of that. And what's your website? What's the website?
The website is Catalyst Coaching HQ, short for headquarters, catalystcoachinghq.com.
Amen. And, okay, I'll put all that in the links down in the show notes.
Yeah.
Now, folks, the Bible is very clear. And Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Exactly. And although pastors are and should be held to a higher standard, remember, as Russ said, we are all humans and have the ability to make wrong decisions too, just like the average person out there. You know, George Patton once said that it's not how high a man goes that determines his success, but how high he bounces after taking a fall.
Amen. So
if you are struggling with some of the things Russell and I have been discussing today, or other things for that matter, as we've really only brushed the surface here, you need to reach out to Russell DeVos right now, today. Every single day you try to ignore what's really happening in your life, naturally and spiritually, is just another day the devil is digging in even deeper to hold on. The Amen. Sooner you admit this to yourself and to God, the sooner the Holy Spirit can bring people like Russell DeVos into your life. The sooner you turn your life over to God and repent of the mistakes you've made, the sooner God can turn your mess into your message. Mm-hmm. Go down into the show notes, click the link, get in touch with Russell right now, today, while you're thinking about it. Pastors, Russell would make a great speaker for your church. You need to reach out to him and see if it would be a good fit to bring some perspective into your men's meetings. I'm telling you, God's not finished with Russell DeVos yet, and God can use him to bring healing to some of you out there listening to us right now. Go down to the show notes, reach out to Russell today. Russell, it's been good. Thank you for coming on the program and sharing this sensitive but very needful information of your story and how God's now using you to help others. I appreciate your time today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Bob. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has rescued out of the pit. And God has rescued me out of the pit. He's put my feet back on a rock. He's put a message in my mouth, a song in my heart, a new song. And the Bible says, man, when you've been redeemed, say so.
Amen.
That's what we're doing.
Praise God. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Russell DeVos, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before.
Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.